Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world, specifically through our fingers. This week.
Yes, this is Odd Gadget Week.
This is a gadget week where we explore Kelly's obsession of creating custom keyboards.
That would be a good way to put it, yeah.
Yeah. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. Human-computer interface.
Yes, this is. We have a lot of different ones now, but this is still my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's so darn efficient.
It really is. Funny that it started out purposely inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
From the typewriter, the mechanical typewriter days, the keys were purposely laid out in a way to make them inefficient.
Yes, so that the typewriters wouldn't jam.
Yep, but man, once you learn that QWERTY board, you are off to the races.
Mm-hmm. My mother still typed fast enough to jam them.
Wow. You must be genetic.
She would hit 120 words a minute on the old manual typewriters, so.
Mm. Yeah, half the time my terminal can't keep up with me, but it's because Macs are slow now. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm having that problem with desktop Linux.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's. You know, I don't know. I redid the computer entirely a couple of weeks back, and
as one does when they have a Linux desktop.
Well, that was. I want to say it was my fault, but it wasn't my fault. I tried to do an OS upgrade that went south and messed up my package manager, and turns out it's really hard to fix anything on your computer when your package manager is hosed. So.
Ever tell you this story about how I overwrote my lib directory at the root level?
No.
Yeah, that was a poorly executed SCP command, completely toast. I never got back into that computer.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, I have to use SCP for the first time in forever next week, and I was going to turn to you for guidance, but now I think maybe I'll just look it up on the internet.
Yeah, the guidance is look it up every single time.
Yeah.
So I can never remember target, destination, which one's which, and if you have to slash the end of the directory, does it overwrite the directory every single time?
Yeah, those things seem like they could be important.
Yeah, it turns out they are. Especially if you have a folder in your website that is lib, and you mistakenly point it at the root level of your hard drive.
Oops.
Anyhow, so that was a long time ago, folks.
Yeah, those are mistakes you typically only make once.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So this week, for those who don't know, Kelly is an aficionado of custom-made keyboards. Is there a word for keyboard files or something like an audio file? Does this tribe have a name? Should we name it?
Do we have a name? You know, I don't know. I don't know if there's a name or not.
You know, like caps heads or something, or like capsers. Well, so the funny thing is, whenever you mention it, you occasionally, just in passing, you mention, "Oh, I'm working on a new keyboard," and then you'll list off like 700 components that I've never even heard of, and yet I probably use every single day, all day. So let's start off. Like, what are the things? Like, if we were going to talk about guitars, I would know like where to go here. But like, what are the things you care about when you're making your? First of all, what would drive you to make your own keyboard in the first place?
Well, first of all, you have to realize here I'm building mechanical keyboards, which are different than the inexpensive membrane keyboards that you can go out and buy for $8 or $10, in that they have individual mechanical key switches. So the feel is much different. And it's different than, say, an Apple scissor switch keyboard or a lot of laptop keyboards in that sense. So
you already lost me.
Yeah,
so scissor
sorry.
Switch, membrane, mechanical.
Yeah, sorry.
Because this is this is why your keyboards are comically loud.
Yes, this is why my keyboard is comically loud.
Okay.
The inexpensive modern keyboards have a membrane that lays over top of the PCB for the control board for the keyboard. Mm-hmm. And when you push down on a key, it pushes a little part of that membrane down and it makes contact.
Like a really crappy touch screen.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And that's why it feels kind of squishy and soft.
Mushy,
and,
right.
And in my opinion, not pleasant to type on.
Mm-hmm.
And the scissor switch keyboards, like your typical Apple keyboard. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking the Apple wireless keyboard. I don't know what the laptops are like these days.
Mm-hmm.
Is the same sort of thing, except it has a little scissor spring in there to give a little more tactility to the key.
but it's still pressing a membrane. It's just tricking it's you into pressing. Thinking it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a weighted.
And it does feel a little better.
Yep. Yeah, it's like a weighted keyboard on a synthesizer. So they would make a piano keyboard. So you've weighted keys on a synth makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
In terms of playability.
Feel more like an actual piano keyboard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So then you have the mechanical keyboards where each switch has an individual mechanical switch that presses and actuates that switch and completes the electrical connection that way.
Okay, so what's going on there actually? Is it's like a little, so the key goes down, is the key's on a spring. What's some of the key down? Okay, I'm looking at the B key. You've got a key cap, that's the plastic thing that you can see that your finger touches. Yeah. What's right under that? Like what's the right stack?
The stack. Yeah, you have the switch, which has a plastic housing, and inside of the switch there are metal contacts and a spring, and then you have the stem that comes, plastic stem that sort of sets over that spring and comes out of the top of the key switch, and that's what your keycap goes on to.
Okay, so have you ever seen a fidget cube?
Yes.
Okay, so there's like clicky little button, like that's the switch, right? It's just like a clicky little fun to play with button thing.
Right, yeah, it's a clicky, or there are several types. There are switches that are clicky and some that aren't as loud but have a little bit of a tactile feel to them, and then there are linear switches, but it all works the same.
Okay, but you prefer, I'm sure you have a preference for a particular kind.
I prefer clicky.
Right, but like, is there a, versus, like, I don't know what linear means, but I mean, I know what it means, but in the switch world, but you prefer like a clicky, so you and your other cap heads sort of go on some IRC channel and talk about the brand new, who makes these?
There's lots of people that make them. Cherry switches are probably the most common.
Okay.
And then there are several clones of Cherry switches made by several different companies. And then there are other smaller companies that make more niche, I guess, more heavily customized, more expensive.
Yeah, so you get on your IRC channel and you're like, anybody try the new Cherries? I heard they're really good.
Yeah, what about those 76 gram linear Zeal purples?
That's what I'm hoping for. Yeah, I was hoping for some jargon.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, oh, I'm waiting on 110 kale box jade switches to come in, which I am. I have that order pending.
So yeah, I mean, you're this is exactly like guitar players, like electric guitar players. They're just like, oh, what about if you got the 80s era tube screamer, the green one, you know, right. How do you set it? Like, do you set the tone like for like 9 o'clock? I like 9 o'clock. Just yeah, like, yeah, what are you even talking about? Right.
It's the same kind of thing. And the different switches have different weights, and basically the strength of the spring that's in them measured in grams of force, I think.
Usually they're
like across the brand, they're like color coordinated, like one color will be this weight and one color will be another, so that's why everybody refers to their switches by color.
And that's how we do guitar string gauges, by the way. Mm-hmm. So what's your preference? You like a stiff key? How do you even talk about it? Is it a stiff key versus a soft, like, how do you, what's even the language?
Yeah, like a light key versus a heavy key.
Okay.
And I prefer something in the middle. Mm-hmm. I have a keyboard that has some really heavy switches, and it feels good to type on, but I don't like doing it for long periods of time. It gets kind of tiring.
Yeah. Plus, you don't want your hand muscles to get really big.
Yeah, that would look odd.
I mean, it looks good at the beach, but other than that.
Yeah, other than that.
Can't find gloves that fit.
No.
So okay, so
busting out of the seams.
So what do you do? Like, how much of the so if we go down the stack, you've got the keycap, you've got the switch, the spring is part of the switch, mm-hmm. and you mount it on something. I suppose.
Yes. Next, you have, optionally but preferred, most of the time you have a plate, which is basically essentially a plastic or metal. Metal being superior, basically just grid that has holes cut in that these switches snap down into.
Okay, so the layout of the keyboard, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's not 'cause, so it, Okay, here we go. I'm guessing rabbit hole here.
Okay.
How many options do you have for keyboard layout?
Just that grid count part.
Right. Yeah. It's just an infinite, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are standard options, but really you can have like dozens. And then if you want to get into, I know some people that do, and I only sometimes do get into like either 3D printing plates or you know, having custom laser cut and that kind of thing. You can just, you know, do whatever you imagine.
But this is just like a jig to fit them into, right? Like that's not a connection. That'd be the next layer down.
Yeah, that's correct. The connection is the next layer down, and that's where your layouts start to get either limited or whatever you want to do, depending on which direction you want to go. The easiest thing to do after you have your switches on your plate is to attach them to a PCB. It's a circuit board. Mm-hmm. and solder everything into place.
Oh, you lost me. Yikes. That seems impossible. So there's like wires sticking out of the bottom of the switches, presumably then?
Yeah, there's two pins, two okay. metal pins coming out of the bottom of the switches.
Okay.
And
how and do you so, even get into position to, that sounds like a tough.
It's actually not bad when you start by putting like your switches in the corners of your plate and then put the PCB on and then like solder your four corners into place. And then after that, everything just goes in pretty easily. And it all just kind of lines up.
Okay, cool.
Or you can go the hand wired route where you skip the PCB entirely and run wires and diodes and things between key switches and that sort of stuff. If you want something really wild or custom, or you have no money. and I've tried to do this once and just for fun, but it's beyond the level that I can see to do. So
yeah, that must just be a bird's nest of wires. Like,
yeah, it is. It is. And actually the size is not the issue. My issue is the lack of depth perception just makes it impossible to do without Yeah.
So how many keys are on a typical computer keyboard?
Typical, a full size keyboard, I think has 104.
Okay. And when I see both your, generally your keyboards, we forgot to finish the stack. So under that, sorry, what's the name of the
PCB?
PCB is like the
circuit board.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that'll have
CB, right?
Right. And that'll have various components on it. It'll have the microprocessor for the keyboard, and it'll have diodes and usually a couple of resistors. And most of the time those are pre-soldered onto the PCB when you buy it, but you can get blank PCBs and solder all that stuff on yourself.
Do you get like aftermarket diodes and like what would that even affect in the experience?
Just the amount of time and effort it takes to build it, really.
Okay. So it's not
you're really not going to have like a, you're really not going to want like, oh, I want these diodes instead of these. It's kind of like, no, I need this particular voltage or this particular level of resistance or what have you for the thing to work. So,
yeah, if you don't have enough resistance, the characters would start showing up on the screen before your finger touched the key, which is very disconcerting. So, okay. Yeah, so then from there, you've got
a true hoverboard.
Right. That would be awesome. You just wave your fingers at it. It gets the idea. So, are we case next? Is that the next thing?
Yeah, we're case next.
Okay. So case is, you've got some really sweet looking wood. They look like wood cases. I don't know if they're really wood cases.
Yeah. Mine is made of, this particular one on my keyboard that I'm using now is made of walnut.
That is, yeah. And it looks sharp. So, I mean, between the keycaps and the case, it looks super sharp. And then the pièce de résistance is the cord.
Yes, I also have a custom USB cable.
Didn't you just tell me a story recently about ordering cables, custom braided cables? Was that for the keyboard?
Yeah, that was for the keyboard.
Of course.
Yeah, and they make kits, or you can buy kits to make your own cable and that sort of thing. But again, it's something where my eyesight just doesn't work well for soldering connections on a USB mini connector. So I just pay someone else to do it.
Right. And now, does anybody, and I, as I ask this, I know the answer is yes. Does anybody make a case that has a top?
Yes. In fact, I have, you mean like a lid?
Yeah, like close it so you could carry it around.
Yeah, I've got one ordered, actually.
That's awesome.
It's made of bamboo. It's another wooden one.
It's I have seen some like pretty epic steampunk looking computer keyboards that, you know, straight out of like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea or whatever.
Right.
That are, you know, you're like, oh, that would be cool to have. And then you go to your next blog post.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going for more of a Tolkien-esque kind of Woods of Lothlorien theme for my next keyboard. It's going to be all natural wood and light green gradients on the keycaps and some green underglow and that sort of thing.
Nice. Yeah. We're actually reading Two Towers right now.
Oh, yeah.
Lothlorien is coming up frequently at this point.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
People listening, it's too bad this isn't, images aren't possible here. Maybe go to the show notes or something, but.
Yeah, I'll put a bunch of images in the show notes.
Yeah.
We didn't touch on the different keycap profiles either.
Well, okay. Oh, see, I didn't even know that was a thing. So, okay. So let's go back to keycaps because that seems like it's the most striking thing.
It's the most striking thing, and it is surprisingly can be one of the most expensive parts of the whole project.
Interesting. So, okay, what are the options here? I'm a new cap head. I'm a cap noob, and I want to get in. I want to get in on this game.
Okay. You want to get in. You've got a bunch of different profiles to choose from, and I mean, I could run through each one, but I'm just going to give you kind of an overview.
Mm-hmm.
You have. Like your OEM profile, what your typical purchase keyboard comes with is the keycaps are, you know, they're kind of sculpted a little bit, and not every row on the keyboard is the same height, so it kind of gives a little bit of an angle to things.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a few different profiles that are various types and heights to those sculpts and various angles and things. And then you have the profiles where all the keys are uniform. Everything's, you know, all your rows are the same height.
Mm-hmm.
And
like, are they all tall or there's like chiclet options?
No, there's some short ones and there's tall ones. There's different options for the keycap height.
But you and buy a set.
Typically, yeah, you buy a set.
Okay.
You can, there's some suppliers that let you sort of mix and match, but yeah, typically you're buying sets or pieces of sets. Sometimes you buy the alphanumeric and then you buy the modifiers separately and that sort of thing. But you want them all to be the same profile, whatever profile you choose. Otherwise, it's going to be really awkward and weird and look bad and feel bad. but yeah, the caps I use right now are fairly low profile and they're all uniform.
Low profile meaning short.
Yeah, they're not very tall.
Okay. And they're fairly uniform, so there's not a lot of curvature to the keyboard.
Right. The caps, they're called DSA caps, and the caps themselves have like a bit of a spherical sculpt to the, you know, indentation in the top of the cap itself. But it's all every cap on the keyboard is the same height and there's no like angle to it or that sort of thing.
Right. So. What about materials? Can you get like ceramic or like are they all some sort of resin or plastic? Metal.
Typically, most common are either PBT plastic or ABS plastic. ABS plastic caps tend to be they tend to get shiny with use and they tend to be a little slicker. PBT caps have more of a texture to them and they typically tend to last a little bit longer.
Hmm.
I don't personally have much of a preference. I prefer like. Caps come in different thicknesses, the thickness of the plastic, basically, depending on how much money you want to spend on it.
Mm-hmm.
If I were just picking like thin plastic set, I would prefer a PBT, but if it's like good, thick, heavy plastic, I don't really have a preference between the two.
Hmm. Man, it would be cool if you could get like a set of like recovered rhino molar ivory caps. Be like this giant mouth looking at you.
Yeah.
I'm only half kidding about any of this because now I'm just starting to like the my saving grace is that I'm a laptop person and I don't use an external monitor and the odds of me having an external keyboard are like pretty close to zero because I wouldn't be able to use it because my USB ports are all full. So it's like, what would I really use it for? But it's super tempting because it's something that you just, I mean, I'm constantly using the thing.
Right.
Constantly.
Yeah, that's the thing. I use it hours and hours every day for work and then for just goofing around after work. So as many hours as I spend using a keyboard, I want the best, the most enjoyable typing experience I can get.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is why someone spends it, like the difference between a $300 electric guitar and a $4,000 electric guitar.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of little differences, but it adds up to a major difference.
Right.
You know, like you can get by on a $300 electric guitar, but if you really want to like feel like just have no limits, you know, it's like that last 1% costs you like 10 times the money. So like, what are we looking at here for a cap noob like myself? If I was going to get in on the ground floor and like say, okay, I'm going to try one of these, like how much budget should I set aside?
You can build something simple for around the 120 to 150 range.
Good Lord.
And
how much does a keyboard cost if you just go buy one?
If you just go buy a mechanical keyboard.
Yeah. Like $9.
Well, if you just go buy a cheap membrane keyboard, then yeah, you know, $5 or $10.
Yeah.
If you buy a mechanical keyboard, some of the lower end ones start at around 40. I'd say the average price is around 100.
Okay. More than I thought. So yeah, it's kind of, but like the sort of get by the cheap $300 guitar version is the membrane keyboard, and like the 10X is like you start making your own.
Right. Yeah. And if you get into really, really custom parts and high end keycaps and like fancy cases and that sort of thing, you can, I have seen keyboards that people have probably put $600 or $700 into. I personally have never put more than about $250 into one.
Yeah, but you have 10.
Well, I did that once. I did it on the one board. I'd say a couple of my boards have been sort of the lower end, inexpensive builds. But you can still make something nice. So they're not.
Yeah, and it's not insane. Yeah. It's not like you're buying a $200,000 watch.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, and the other thing about it is it's probably, you know, again, you'll have to go to the show notes to check for links to photos, but they are surprisingly good looking. So it sounds dumb, I suppose, but even, you know, you're using them all the time. And when you're not using them, you're probably looking at them, you know, it's like a thing on your desk. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for example, you know, we just got a new iMac. For Cooper, we got an entry level iMac for Cooper, and the keyboard, which is nothing special, doesn't have a cord. And I cannot tell you how amazing that is. It's so great.
Yeah.
Like that, just like the lack of that wire is fabulous. It just changes the whole look of the desk.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I thought about building a Bluetooth one, but,
Well, yeah.
I don't mind the cable so much when it's a nice looking cable. But
yep, yeah. We started. Erica bought. She just outfitted her little. She got a new craft room in the house, and she just outfitted that with, you know, stuff like sewing machines or whatever. But we had to run a bunch of extension cords, and she's got an iPad. She's got a few charging cables, and she went out and got all. What's it? You would know what they're called, but they're all like braided wrapped. It's like braided cloth wrapped. Cords, even the extension right. cords. So they have like a nice pattern and color, and they match stuff. And it's like, you're not going to not see the extension cord. So you might as well make it a good looking one, you know?
Right. Right.
So if you're going to see it, yeah, it's like, yeah, bring it on. So what are you thinking cord wise for the Lothlorien keyboard?
I don't know. Probably just something basic green, just a basic green cloth or maybe brown. Depending on, you know, once I get the keycaps on and the lights and see, like, does this need more brown or does it need more green?
Did you say lights?
Yeah.
You know what this is reminding me of is like Fast and the Furious, like car modders with like
ground effects
and under lights. And so,
yeah, they're,
that's right. You do have, you have like LED lights in the case that sort of shine up from underneath.
Yeah, there are a couple of different ways you can do the lights, or a couple of different lighting styles that are possible, popular, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And one is underglow lighting, where you have lights mounted underneath the PCB, so between the PCB and the case. Mm-hmm. And if you have a case that's translucent or transparent, then you get that sort of that glow shining through there.
Right.
And I have a keyboard that has that. But then that keyboard also has individual lights inside of each key switch.
Hmm. Which does it shine through? So you like a
It shines up and so illuminates through the keycaps.
So you can see the letters. But you know, you just don't have the ones that I'm thinking of. You normally don't have letters on your keycaps.
That one doesn't have lights in it.
Okay.
Yeah, I have another one that I built that I have the lights in, and then I have the keycaps actually had the clear legends for the letters.
Clear legends. So the
light, yeah.
That's okay. That's a thing.
Yeah, like the letters are okay. Clear.
I see. All right, so this has been fascinating, but I want to find out one more thing, which is you have special keys for special things. So like we talked a little bit about how you can get different layouts for and there's some standard ones, but you still can now, is it just a computer like operating system thing where you're reassigning keys to do certain things, or is that something that you do?
Oh yeah, that's another advantage to building the keyboard is you're typically buying your PCB hardware that you can install custom keyboard firmware on, or customize the firmware on it, and you can have different program all of your different layouts and that sort of thing there, and actually flash it to the firmware on the PCB. So it works the way it works, regardless of what computer it's plugged into.
Mm. So like what sorts of things can you, because like I've had Chromebooks that have like a Google search key for the caps lock. Because what kind of monster would use caps lock? So they replace that with like just a magnifying glass key, and you just hit it and boom, you're in Chrome like searching. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, actually the keyboard that I use, and actually all the ones I built and the ones I use most have 61 keys instead of the 104.
Yeah, they look kind of compact.
Yeah, so in addition to not having the number pad, I also don't have the arrow cluster and the sort of home, delete, page up, page down keys, that sort of those. So I actually have those programmed as on a different layer on my keyboard. So for instance, if I hit the function key, which I have put where caps lock is, my caps lock is my function key. And then I use I, J, K, and L for the arrows. And it's great. It's super fast. It's super efficient because they don't have to reach for arrow keys. They're just right there on the home row and good to go.
Yeah, it makes tons of sense.
Yeah. And once you get used to it, it took me about a week to get used to the different layout. And then I'm a lot faster with it. And then I do also have a macro pad that I built just kind of for fun. And I have it set up with several different macros. I have git commits and like pushing to staging and logging into various servers and that sort of thing.
Logging in? Much,
yeah. Well, I mean, it obviously I don't put passwords in there. I'm using SSH key pairs.
I see.
For everything on the computer. But yeah, and it's basically just like spits out strings. It basically just spits out strings of text. So they don't have to type them out.
Sure. Yeah. It's like, what's it called? Not TextMate.
Text expander thing.
Text expander, right? It's like a text expander keyboard kind of.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you like put a cursor somewhere and then mash this giant button.
Right. If I'm in the terminal and I hit like this button on the macro pad, then it's going to type out, SSH Ubuntu at such and such server, such port number,
so
that sort of thing.
Cool.
And hit enter.
That is cool. I like that.
So I did that mostly for fun, but I do end up using it. About half the time I forget I have it, and I just tap out the commands anyway because it's quick and it's what I'm used to. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'll just reach over and tap a key, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah, and taking your fingers off of a keyboard gives you vertigo, so.
Yeah.
Reaching for the giant easy button.
Right. I have the really small keyboard, so I can put my trackpad right next to it. So.
Well, so I was going to ask, like someone who is this into, you know, I'm more of a keyboard person too. Mm-hmm. Cooper and Erica are total mouse people. They right click everything. It's all menu selections. If they have to touch the keyboard, it's a bad day.
Oh God, that would drive me insane. Yeah. I could not watch them use a computer.
It's hard, but man, they are fast. So it's to watch someone change tools in Photoshop with a mouse makes me want to carve my eyes out. But
yes,
it's like, okay, he's like when he goes to play like a first person shooter, his accuracy is insane. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Maybe there is pros and cons to everything. But okay. So what do you do with pointer tool? Like, what's your pointer tool? Like, what do you use for a mouse, trackpad, trackball?
I use a Logitech trackball.
Mm-hmm.
I did use a mouse for a long time, but I started having wrist pain, so I switched to the trackball to see if it would help, and it did so.
Hmm. Yeah. Have you ever built your own trackball?
No, I don't know if that's a thing. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, but...
Yeah. Huh. I guess those would be ball heads. That might be another thing.
It might be. for better or worse.
Yeah. Oh, well, I feel like not only more educated, but now I kind of want one. So, dear listener, if you want to buy a $1,300 custom keyboard, you know how to get in touch with Kelly.
I tell you what, we'll put some links in the show notes to a couple of some of the entry level kits for building, and I'll put links to pictures of things that I built.
Yeah, that stuff's awesome. Like, the pictures are amazing. We were just in Slack the other day, and one of our colleagues has one as well. So let's close on this.
Okay.
What were you talking about with the space bar?
Oh yeah, he has the space bar flipped. His space bar is upside down.
Like he picked it up. He went north. Like, he picked it up in the air, rotated it 180 degrees, and put it back on.
Yes.
Now, why would someone do that?
Because with that particular keycap profile, when you're typing and you hit spacebar, your thumb kind of hits the corner of the spacebar. So by turning it around like that, your thumb hits it more
smoother.
Flat.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Funny. Okay. Yeah. Right. All right. Because your fingers are coming at a different. They're coming in at a different angle than your thumb is. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. All of a sudden. Wow, jeez, what haven't we learned here today? Oh, this is great. All right, cool. Well, I mean, hopefully this isn't all replaced by voice computing in the near future, but, you know, one thing's for sure, your keyboard's not going to, like, suddenly start laughing at you randomly.
That's true. Yeah, they'll be prying it from my cold, dead hands.
Right, exactly.
The problem is I have two computers that I use on a semi-regular basis.
And you have one favorite keyboard.
And I have one favorite keyboard.
Mm.
And I'm about to build... Okay, one of the keyboards I built I gave to Kira, so I'm not going to count that one. Mm. But I'm about to build my fourth one for me. Fourth and fifth, because I have parts ordered for two, actually. I have parts ordered for a tiny one, like really tiny.
Huh.
42 keys.
Mm.
And that's mostly just an experiment, because I had a chance to get the parts cheap, and that almost never happens.
Huh, okay.
So, I'm going to have like twice as many keyboards as I do computers.
Hey, I've got 10 guitars that I don't do anything but dust, so.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, you know, at least if I have a day where I'm in the mood for something different, mm-hmm. I'll be able to. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like
lately,
you need like a golf bag.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. a big briefcase, open it up, like, okay, which one do I want today?
Right.
Yeah, and I guess my newest little experiment has been, I've been designing and 3D printing some custom keycaps. So,
how's that going?
It's good. I just made a custom escape key. Because I have this my main keyboard that I'm using right now, my favorite, has this sort of orange and brown and wood kind of retro, like The Martian sort of theme. So I designed a keycap for my escape key that's got an astronaut helmet. So
nice.
I hung it up and stuck it on there.
Nice.
That's fun.
Yeah, ground control to Major Tom, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, cool. I think that might be it for this week. What do you say?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. That's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.